finally. The noobs were lined up in their underwear along the far wall of the Holly basement. Enos Quinn, the captain of the wrestling team and the hardest six-former in Harley House, stepped out from the pack of older kids, and Ben Weeks' shoulder blade met the cool stone behind him. Ben tried to keep his nervous elation from becoming too apparent. He had spent so long waiting through other things to get here. Enos began to pace in front of the noobs, his eyes forced wide. His paper bag-colored hair buzzed, wrestling short, the tip of his tongue moving over his lips. He seemed built of denser stuff than the other kids. The older guys in the dorm stood on all sides, now swaying in time together, and because they couldn't let the junior faculty two floors above them hear, they chanted in whispered unison, "A St. James noob is a quiet noob. A St. James noob is a quiet noob. A St. James noob." Ben could feel how scared the rest of the new kids were, and he was overcome with a protective pity for them. He wished he could impart to them what his older brother, Teddy, graduated that past spring, had imparted to him. This would just be a glorified pillow fight. It was happening all across the campus in the basement of every dorm. It would weld them together. They had come down here strangers and would leave each other's future groomsmen. But now, Enos paced. Ben had so much to rely on, he took himself back to the living eyes of the crowd behind his court as he faced them, right arm above his head, after winning the last point of the under-15 junior national squash tournament. Ben tried on that triumph again, tried to let it take him. Manly Price, the St. James squash coach, had been there waiting for him to arrive on the team. Ben saw his brother's Teddy's face, utterly free from doubt, describing St. James's classes, late nights in friends' rooms, afternoons deep in the woods. He saw Hutch's face far across Camp Tukwegan at the canoe shed, telling the other kids how sweet St. James was going to be. Ben saw the class photos of his uncle and father and grandfather, all the Weekses, who looked like him all the way back. Fear was natural. Fear was even part of the appeal. But he belonged. He belonged. This was the correct beginning for all of it. "Noobs," Enos finally called out in a whisper, "we are going to see who is the toughest among you." Again, Enos lapsed into fixated silence, and all of Ben's assurance went away. "We are going to find out who is the bravest, the strongest, the fastest, the best, the best, the best." Enos curled his fists in front of him and lowered his head toward his chest now, chanting to himself, "The best, the best, the best." The morning of that day seemed very long ago. The title tells us everything we need to know. Expectations. Expectations of Ben, the younger son of a generous donor who raised the funds for a spanking new squash facility on Ben's new prep school's grounds. Expectations of Ben's dad, whose fundraising skills reflect the autumn sun as it glints from the modern sporting facility he caused to happen at his alma mater, but who still carries the burden of the younger son, comparing himself constantly, and not optimistically, to his older brother. Expectations of Ben's mother, who's returned to follow her passion at grad school, but may need to drop out to rescue her family from the risky investments of her husband that threatened to upend the family's comfortable life. And expectations from Ben's new roommate, Ahmed, a student sent by his sheikh father to learn about America and Americans. Ahmed is flailing despite his well-meaning efforts. And Ben, the hoped-for friend who would offer guidance, is caught between his sympathy for a fellow roomie and Ben's angst that Ahmed's continual social faux pas will mark them both as outsiders at this very insider boarding school. At first glance, then, the expectations will seem a beautifully written young adult novel. It's set at a New England prep school. It's populated by preppy young men and women. And its protagonist is the aforementioned Ben, an angsty younger brother, a young man who expects much from himself. On the squash court, where his thoughts and skills reign, and in the social world of teenagers, where every small social misstep seems to threaten his tenuous hold on popularity and acceptance. But read on. Dig a bit deeper And I think you'll find that deeper storyline here, that deeper probing of modern world expectations that is promised by the title. Like many stories about the lives of young people, Expectations is a story of adulthood, too. We read the story through the eyes of Ben, that noob at St. James Prep School, the elite New England boarding school generations of his family have attended, albeit a noob with an older brother whose exploits at the private school were legendary. But we seem to do so through the eyes of Ben as an adult, remembering back to his first year living away from home. The book offers us a resonance of life, looking back with fondness, surprise, and yes, wonder at the boy he was from the perch of the man he now is. Ben's aware that he has an inborn knack for socializing with adults, not unlike his investor father, but he's not the assured adult his upbringing, his family, his social class expect him to be. Heck, Ben is still figuring out how to connect and be a part of that ever-so-slippery time of our lives, known as the teen years. His budding relationships with his fellow classmates, guys and gals alike, are equally cloudy, if sincere. Ben, like so many of us, wants to be liked, wants to fit into his peer group, wants to fit in with everyone, but he's not the offensive, self-centered figure that his older brother Teddy was on campus. Ben's heart goes out to his naive Middle East roommate, a young man wealthy beyond anything Ben knows, but with a generous heart and personality that Ben can only see but not feel. Yet Ben knows that his roommate Ahmed is in many ways the type of man Ben will want to be. Yes, Ahmed is both too smug and too trusting for his own good. He walks out on the classic initiation ritual that we heard about at first, and then pays the price of social ostracization. But Ahmed's pride and noblesse oblige upbringing keeps his facade cheerful and open through much of the novel. Traits Ben intuitively is drawn to, and yet knows too that he ought to be repelled if Ben is to be one of the guys at school. The prose in Expectations is exquisite, with beautifully turned phrases, descriptions of the idyllic New England boarding school in the late summer into winter, as well as cloudy, murky reaches for reality experienced in real time by the mind of a youth still grasping, still groping for what life is all about. Ben suffers the slings and arrows of awakening adolescence, and is already known, by the time we meet him in the story, the joys and the pressures of being the best at what he does. His skills on the squash court as a junior player, as we heard, are already truly legendary. And the expectations for him to blossom with the tutelage of the school's truly legendary squash coach both buoy Ben's spirits as he grapples with homesickness and cause Ben no little amount of anxiety. Can he live up to the sportsman's skills expected of him? Other reviewers have savaged the Expectations for its setting. Quote, the writing itself was very good. Everything, character, plot, setting. But I found myself very irritated with the story. As a character study, it was excellent, wrote this reviewer. But the characters, the prep school, the old money New Englanders, always being so careful to hide their wealth, to never be pretentious. These stories have no place in our current here and now. The world has moved on, end quote. Yet other reviewers have noted that the book does not tie up nicely at the end, but leaves us with questions. As with so many books around today, yesterday, and so many stories, The Expectations is not a book or a story to capture the hearts and minds of every reader. But for those who want to experience a world they have left behind, or who want to experience a world they have never dreamed would be their fate, this is a beautifully written, often haunting read. It's a debut novel worth your time. Let's finish with this reading from the book. Ben has just come to realize that his father may lose the family's fortune. He may not be able to return to his beloved St. James once the fall semester ends. And yet, he's looking back at that first moment when he and his father alone traveled to the campus on his first day and entered the holy land of that squash court. As we read, as they walked to the courts that first day, Bennett put his hand on the dragon's side for a moment and looked up. His father should have been wearing a calm smile, suppressing delight at this beautiful thing he had brought into the world, his own thing that he wasn't going to name after himself. But Ben instead knew he would see a tautness across his father's face. No landscaping had been done yet, and so the earth around the long, low brick building was still yellow mud molded into the shape of bulldozer treads. Stacks of brick were covered in partially tied down Tyvek sheeting, and dusty tree roots stuck up from the mud at hectic angles. They passed the dragon and walked through the soft dirt to the building's entrance. The courts would probably be locked, but Ben decided to give a try anyway, and the door's thumb latch gave. Ben pulled the door open, and the two of them, Ben and his father, smelled the off-gas of the new carpet and fresh paint. They stepped inside, first Ben and then his dad. The red glow of the vestibule's exit sign created the feeling of being somewhere late at night. Ben pulled open the inner door, and they went in and looked down from the top of the gallery. Courts 1 and 2, the marquee glass back courts, sat side by side at the bottom of a carpeted bank of stadium steps. For an instant, Ben remembered what they had looked like in the architectural plans, but then this reality crowded out any other version. The walls of the gallery were bare drywall, with the seams and screw heads plastered over blotchily. The lines of the court seemed almost hallucinatingly straight. Ben could see a burr of dust over everything. The Manly Price Courts, named after that famed squash coach. "What do you think?" his father asked. "They look amazing." Ben missed the water stain on the ceiling of the old court, the mismatched carpet remnants in the little lounge where he used to play. Chip had sprung for a glass back wall, but he had to wedge it closed with a wooden shim after the latch had broken. "They do look amazing." The two of them didn't move. Ben didn't know what they were supposed to do now. He realized he should have been a little surprised that they hadn't brought shoes and rackets to hit with. As they stood there looking down, not going further in, but not wanting to turn around to leave, Ben thought that maybe his dad was so subdued because he was going to miss having Ben at home. Ben's dad took a breath, exhaled, and said, "I hope they're worth it." The Expectations, a doozy of a first novel, as another reviewer has said, by Alexander Tindley. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, by curbside pickup, if you'd like, and it's available, certainly, at the West Lafayette Public Library. Thanks for listening.